This week's Parsha Shlach, deals with the famous incident or infamous incident of the Meraglim, the sin of the spies, that Moshe Rabbeinu sent spies to check out the land of Israel, and lo and behold, they came back and with an evil report, or a bad report that led to had tragic consequences of people not being able to enter into the land of Israel. So the question is, what went wrong with the sin? What exactly was the sin in the Meraglim? In other words, to put it in another fashion, was it the mere fact, was sending Meraglim a problem? Or it's only because at the end of the day, the result wasn't good? In other words, whose idea was it to send Meraglim? Was it God's idea? Was it Moshe's idea? Was it the Jewish people's idea? You talking to me or someone else?
No, I was talking to my wife.
Okay, good choice. So we, because it's mashma from this week's parasha, it looks like God, Vayedaber Hashem al Moshe shlach lecha, it seems like God sending the Meraglim. But if you look in the book of Devarim, when Moshe is summarizing everything, it seems like, no, God, we didn't want Meraglim, it came from the Jewish people. So what exactly is going on here? Was there a problem asking for Meraglim? Assuming they did ask. So it seems to be a major debate between Rashi and the Ramban.
Yes.
So Rashi learns it was the mere asking for Meraglim, for spies, to check out the land of Israel, that itself is a problem. In other words, what do you mean? God told you you can go into the land of Israel. How dare you? What, you don't have enough emunah? Well, okay, thanks God, but let me send out some spies, check out the situation, see what the people are like, see how safe it is. So Rashi says it's shlach lecha. Is really, I didn't want to send Meraglim. It's only because the Jewish people insisted that I do it. So therefore, according to Rashi, Rashi learns the etzem, the actual sending of the spies was a problem. Even assume they gave a good result. But the result we'll get to the second part. But let's assume there's two parts. You know, you send the spies and they could come out with a good, bad, or neutral report. But this on the mere fact of that we had to send spies, Rashi says it was a sin. They were lacking emunah and therefore they should never have asked to send spies. That's the way Rashi learns. Yeah, Marcy, you have a question?
Does Rashi say the same thing over Yehoshua sending spies?
Good question. See, I was going to get to that. Actually, that's the Ramban's kasha on Rashi. See, he's learning Yehoshua. I was going to mention in the Navi Shir on Shabbos, but now you're already all over it. Before I answer your question, let me give you the Ramban, and one of his proofs is by the spies by Yehoshua. So the Ramban says, what are you talking about, Rashi? There's no problem sending the spies. I agree. This is because you have a divine command. God says on Rosh Hashanah, I'm going to have my parnasa, I'm going to make my living. Okay, so I go sleep in bed the rest of the year? No, God tells you what's going to happen, but he still expects you to put in the effort. In other words, the fact that God says go into the land doesn't mean, well, let's say I wasn't Jewish. God didn't tell me. What is the normal practice for me to do? You send surveillance. You send people out to check out, is it safe to go? What does the land look like? There's nothing wrong with sending out spies. I know God told them to go in, but that's derech hateva. That's the way you do things. It wasn't a chisaron and a muna. Like, what do you mean? There was nothing wrong. You're supposed to live in the way the way normal people live. And what's one of his proofs? Like Marciana brought down, who would know best if the sin of the Meraglim was a problem. Good old Yehoshua. He was one of the spies. He was one of the 12 spies. So let's go see. Rashi says I did something wrong, but Yehoshua himself doesn't think, because what Yehoshua, when he was, before he went into Jericho, he sent two spies in. So Yehoshua didn't know there was something wrong with, clearly the Ramban says, there's nothing wrong if Yehoshua's, and not only that, we find the great Moshe Rabbeinu. It's not as well, it's when they're, I think it was, when the 2.5 tribes were going in that area, then they had to attack Sichon. They were fighting a war with Sichon and Og, so he sent spies in. So let's say Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know it was a problem. Yehoshua didn't know, but you, Rashi, you say it is a problem. Like, so what? So the Ramban says nothing wrong with the etzem sending in the Raglim. Of course, the problem was what happened after, we'll get to. But so it seems to be a fundamental debate between the Ramban and Rashi. Rashi seems to say even the mere sending of the Meraglim was the problem. And the Ramban says, no, there wasn't. We see Yehoshua sent spies, Moshe sent spies again. So clearly the problem was that they gave a, the problem was instead of this coming back, as I, especially with what goes on today in the media, I like to say, everyone's entitled to their own opinion, but they're not entitled to their own facts. People seem to make up their own facts today. And therefore, that's what the Meraglim, I mean, Meraglim were entitled to their opinion, but they were, that wasn't their job. Their job was to give the facts. They started opining. Everyone has an, you know, well, it's, there are a lot of funerals happening, maybe it's dangerous to go, the people are, you know, you start giving your opinions on what, on it. So the problem was post-facto, according to the Ramban. So we have a major debate between Rashi and the Ramban on whether there was anything wrong with the Jewish people sending out spies. Rashi, yes. Ramban, no. So, you know, we don't like to leave it with the machlokes, especially between two Torah giants as the Rashi and the Ramban. So let's try to make shalom between them. Let's, you know, Shabbos is coming, a time of peace, tranquility. Let's try to make shalom between Rashi and the Ramban. And to do that, let's bring out the Netziv. The Netziv, you know, a scholar, you know, he was the Rosh, one of the Rosh Yeshivas in Volozhin. You know, the great yeshiva, the one perhaps, you know, that many people base their yeshivas at, him and Rav Chaim. So, Rav Naftali Tzvi Yehuda Berlin. Chaim Berlin actually was one of his kids, I believe, the yeshiva. Interesting, the Netziv didn't get a yeshiva, but his son did, Chaim Berlin. So either way, the Netziv in the Hemek Dover, and he has this yesod in other places, wants to reconcile the machlokes between Rashi and the Ramban, or at least, you know, explain, you know, that both writers, the story goes, I think there was a Sholem Bayis issue, so they went to the Rav of the town, you know, the wife and husband and wife were having a discussion about something. So they went to the Rav to try to work it out. So the wife gave her side. The rabbi said, yeah, you're right. The husband gave his side. The rabbi said, you're right. So the wife said, how can we both be right? And he said, you're right also. So, you know, I don't know if everyone could be right or not, but the Netziv wants to be Mayashev here. So he says, you know, Rashi's right. If you're talking from an ideal madrega, how should, in many times in life, there's the what should it be, and then unfortunately it's the reality. Like it happens every morning, like the ideal. I should have kavana from the moment I start brachas until I finish with hayom. But unfortunately, if I start off too strong right away, I'll be burnt out before I get to the more important part of tefillah. You got to pace yourself. It's not a sprint. It's a, so ideally, of course, I should have kavana for everything. But, you know, and you try and you still do. But you got to work. You got to work on it. It takes time, and you work on, let's say, the quote unquote. You know, some tefillahs have more. You know, deraisa, drabanan, etc. So either way, so the Netziv says, ideally, the Jews who lived in the Dor HaMidbar, surrounded by miracles. The man from the food fell from heaven, the water from the Be'er of Miriam, the Anani HaKavod, all the tremendous miracles in the Midbar, they should have been on the level where if God says go into Eretz Yisrael, you don't have to worry about it, you don't have to send spies, go in. So Rashi's right, on an ideal level, They should have been on the level. They shouldn't have been afraid. They shouldn't have been concerned when God, you know, like you see, you know, maybe like we find by, it says by Yaakov, that God promised him that he's going to have a safe journey. And then we say when he hit 8, you know, had Sileni Yah. So why is he praying? So then I guess you have the Shema when it comes, you know, maybe I'm just sitting in between. But, you know, so, but either way, they don't give that answer here. So the bottom line is, Rashi says, Rashi's talking in the ideal sense. Really, he's right. They shouldn't have needed spies. If you're living a mirat like with Chanan, you know, like some rabbis, the Gemara in Tainus talks about, if you live above the laws of nature, you don't have to worry. Like the story with I think it was Rav Chanina, that basically his daughter, by mistake, when she set up the candles Friday night, instead of putting oil in, she put vinegar in. So she said, what should I do? So he said, don't worry. He who commands oil to burn will also command vinegar to burn, and burn it did. I think it lasted until Havdalah. The point, I ain't somkin al anes. The point is, if you're living there, if you're living in the world of Nisim, it's not Ein Somchin Al Neis. That is the norm. If the Jews in the Midbar, Nisim were the norm. So Rashi's right. They were lacking. They should have been on the level by now that they shouldn't have to rely on sending Meraglim. However, the Netziv points out, but the bottom line is, but I wasn't on that Madre. What could I do? I should be, but I'm not. So you're right. God promised me, but you know what? I'm still nervous. What can I tell you? I took 2 vaccines, but maybe I'm still nervous about COVID. I mean, I'm just saying is people still, you know, are still nervous. I know God said I'll have a parnassa, but still, I'm still nervous. So instead of saying then and that's the case, ideally, you didn't need, but if I'm worried, who knows what's going to happen in Israel? There'll be giants, there'll be wild animals. So then it becomes a mitzvah to send spies. From an ideal level, it should be that it's a mistake to send spies. But what can I do? I'm not on that madrega. And therefore, if I'm not on that level, and I'm still worried, so maybe you shouldn't be there, but you got to live on your own level. And if your level, you're worried, then it's a mitzvah to send spies, like the Ramban road. In fact, we find as well, we find by other greats in the Tziv. So the Tziv brings an example by the great Shmuel Hanavi, who was on a very high level. So what did he do? So when he went to tell Shaul, well, he went to tell David, God, he was going to tell David that David was going to take over as the new king. So God told Shmuel to tell David. So then Shmuel said to God, but if I go to Beis Lechem and tell Yishai and I'm going to get one of his sons to become the next Melech, Shaul's going to hear about it and then he's going to kill me if I'm going to go appoint another king. So God said, you're right, okay. This is what you do. You bring an animal, you'll make believe you're bringing carbonos, no one will notice, and then you'll anoint David as king. That's the story. So the question is, in the Tzivah, so like, what do you mean? Let's say Shmuel went to ask the question. What would have happened? Like, you mean God didn't know? Like, Shmuel asked God, but I'm afraid, but show him my kid. He said, okay, why didn't God tell him right away to bring the karban? So again, the Tziv says the same yisod. Really, on Shmuel's level, he shouldn't have been afraid. God tells you to do it, you do it. Like, okay, so don't worry, God can handle Shaul. But what could you do? Shmuel was afraid. He wasn't holding on the Madrega for that moment, and he succumbed. So really, he shouldn't have needed some camouflage way, some secret way. But once he was on that level, if he was afraid of Shaul, then he has a mitzvah to live al derech hateva, and then he has to go ahead and do the way that a normal person would be. Or as in another example. The Nitziv says, it seems to be an issue about appointing a melech. On one hand, it says, Som tosim alav melech, that we have a mitzvah to appoint a king. On the other hand, it makes it sound like because God, by the story in the Chumash, also by Shmuel, they were asking a king because they wanted to be kechol hagayim.
Yes.
They wanted to be like everyone else. So it seems to be, on one hand, it seems to say, it was a mitzvah to appointing. Other place, it seems like it wasn't appropriate to ask for a king. So which one was it? So the Nitziv says it was both. Really, they should have been out of the Madrega. Like, God didn't tell you. God's leaving, you know, God's having it the way it is. You know, let the leadership continue the way things are. God didn't tell you to appoint a king. But for whatever reason, you aren't holding anymore. About the way things were working now, you felt you'd be more comfortable. And God said, you sure you want a king? Higher taxes, this and that, don't they go? So it's true. So again, so really it was a problematic asking for a king. But once you're holding by asking, so then it's a mitzvah to have a king. So that's the Yisod and the Tziv. So we have three opinions about whether sending them the etzem sending in the miraglim was a good thing, or is it a sin? Was it a mitzvah? So Rashi writes, or a chisaron in amuna. Even if they gave a good report, it didn't make a difference. The fact that they shouldn't have to. God told them to go, and that's it. To stop, don't ask questions, and just follow God's command. Ramban says, what are you talking about? We see Yoshua sending spies later. Moshe sending spies, so clearly they knew if sending spies was a problem, then why would they do it? Clearly, that's the normal derech hateva. So therefore, we have a major fundamental machlokas Rashi and the Ramban. So the Tziv reconciles, he makes sure and says, really, ideally, in the ideal world, Rashi's right. That they should have been on the Madrega. Of all the Nisim, they should have just went with it without Marag. But whatever reason, they weren't holding. They had a Chisaron and a Munah, so now you have an obligation. As in the Tziv Yisod is like this. The more Emunah someone has, the more they can rely on God to do things. That's just, obviously, if I believe in God, but the less Emunah you have, the more you have to do things. That's just, that's the way it works. So therefore, really, if you believed in God, God said send spies, that would have been it. But once you're at a chisaron and a munah, so then you're obligated now. If you have doubts, if you're concerned, then you have to live derech hateva, then you go ahead. Like we see by Shmuel, he was lacking, really, he shouldn't have asked God. But once he did, okay, you're nervous, this is what you have to do. Really, you shouldn't ask for a king, but now that you're asking for one, you have a mitzvah to do it. And therefore, that's how the Nitziv writes. And therefore, according to the Ramban, the sin was post facto. They gave too much of their opinion instead of keeping to the facts. And why is it? How could it be, one could ask, after the Dor day of the Dor living in the Midbar, how could they reach such a level that they're going to give a bad report? We're talking about great people here. The Dor Midbar, they live with Moshe, miracles, and they give. How could, and not only that, Moshe specifically picked great people to be this. It wasn't like the bottom of the ladder. It was the top people. So how could it be? What led these people astray? So again, the Netziv discusses it. The Malbim, others, Rav Hirsch, the Zohar. That really the sin was L'shem Shamayim. They had good, it wasn't like they had bad intent. But of course, as we know, good intentions, you know, is the pathway to Gehenna. A lot of people have good intentions, but it's what you do that counts. But what were the good intentions? Because basically they knew, number one is, because they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu, based on previous Nevuah from Eldad Amed, they knew that Moshe Rabbeinu was not going to enter the land of Israel. And if they would have entered the land of Israel right away, goodbye Moshe Rabbeinu. So it's very easy. I could justify, though, let's stay in the Midbar a couple of more years. I want to be able to learn from Moshe. It wasn't like they had shtus on their minds. I want to keep Moshe Rabbeinu alive. They knew Moshe was going to not lead them. So not only that, Yoshua, that's why he prayed for Yoshua, they say. You know, he added the Yud to Yoshua because he knew Yoshua didn't want Moshe to die. See, in the politics, the person can't wait for the next person to get rid of. They don't have to die, but they want to get rid of him. They can move up in the life. In Jewish leadership, you're not looking to... Moshe Rabbeinu didn't want to be the leader. God had to force him. You think Yoshua was hoping that Moshe died right away so he could take over? In politics, the vice president's waiting for the president to go. I can't wait to take over. But in Jewish leadership, that's not the way it works. And therefore they want, so it's a, you can't come up with much, I want Moshe Rabbeinu around. And also, they did it for spirituality. They realized that once they enter the land of Israel, you know, they have to go start working the land, that they're not going to be able to sit in, you know, it's a person sitting in Kolel. And they know at some point they got to go in and take a job somewhere. But it's a big, it's, I don't mean they don't want to go because they're lazy. I'm talking about serious Kolel people who are getting up at 7 in the morning, learning 12 hours a day. But am I ready to go in? Maybe I just need a couple more years of Kolel. I'm not saying the spies would have kept them out of Israel for 40 years, but maybe we could use a couple more years of Ruchnius in our own, you know, our own ghetto. I just, and before, maybe I'm not ready yet. And at some point out, the Chisaron wasn't, they weren't lacking Emunah in God. They're lacking Emunah in themselves, as it says, as the beautiful chap from the Kutzker. They were like grasshoppers in their eyes. In other words, the reason why other people look like you as grasshoppers is because you viewed yourself. You didn't view yourself and you were able to do it. You didn't think you were ready to jump into it. You thought you need a couple more years left in Kolel, spending time in the Midbar. But ultimately, if God tells you to go in, as difficult as it is, you know it's time to go in. So it was a veira, but at least it was with Shane. That's how they could do it, because they had great cheshbonos. It's such great cheshbonos, maybe they were right. Except God said they weren't right, that's why I know they weren't. But in terms of their reasoning, it was pretty solid. And that's how these great people could be astray, because they thought the ultimate goal is staying in Kolel and learning and being surrounded.
I'm so sorry, I have to step out. Good night.
Okay, yeah. And one, yeah. And